Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But we're going to be talking about more than just mind power. It's also body-heart power. And the reason that I say it that way today is because we are living in a world where people are living longer than ever before. There are very few families today that are not being touched by the reality that they may have to be the caretaker for the elderly members of their family. Now, depending on what your traditional environment is, you might have been of Greek ancestry, African, it doesn't make any difference. In various cultures, Asian culture and all the others included, there was at one time an attitude that this was to be expected, but people didn't live very long. That's something we have to remember. In our day and age, it's not going to be unusual for people to live to be over 100 years of age. Many times that means in living that long, they are going to be having health problems and needs that can be quite exhausting to be attentive to. And it's one of the fastest growing areas of employment, and that is in health care for those that are in need of caregiving. My guest today, Yosef August, is a man that really has a compassion for this, that he takes the side of the caregiver. And too often, we ignore the caregiver. Caregiver is supposed to be the strong one, the one that knows it all, the one that's the superman or superwoman, and by golly, they're like a mountain, like a rock. Well, Yosef and I both know that is not necessarily the case. We both know of families that have gone through tremendous divisions of anxiety and pain and suffering because they really were burned out. Yosef August, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Don. I've been really looking forward to our chat today.
Well, so have I. Now, you're a life coach, and you are used to helping people deal with challenges. And being a counselor myself, I can empathize with that. When it comes to caregiving, oh my goodness, I've got people I know that come to my mind, and I have such a compassion for them. I know a wife who has an 80-plus-year-old spouse who has got Alzheimer's, and it's progressive, and yet his body is failing him, and she is so wiped out. She can't even leave the house. Once in a while, she has someone that is able to come in and help her. And you want to just, in a way, say to this person, just take a break. Do something for yourself. And they'll say, yes, I know, but I've got to do this, I've got to do the other. I just know so many cases like this. You'll say, why is it you decided to make this a focus? Because as a counselor, you didn't have to make this your focus at all. Why?
That's true. Well, first of all, I was a caregiver, and so I have a lot of experience in terms of my parents and my mother-in-law, and those were pretty intense experiences, and they were actually in significantly positive ones. But I'm also in different ways and different degrees. I'm also taking care of a lot of people that I know. You know, in one way, I'm participating in some way on their. Mm-hmm. Their caregiving team, which is kind of really what we need to start generating more. But one of the things that happened, Donna, I was very interested in these websites that have proliferated in the last few years. I call them care sites. Your listeners may well be familiar with one or more of these. They're Caring Bridge, Lots of Helping Hands, Care Pages. Have you ever run across them yourself?
No, I have to be honest with you, I have not. That is
great.
Not something I've researched.
Great. Okay, because one of my missions right now is to really to help people who are in the caregiving situation to find ways that are easy and accessible for them so that they could start to share the care. So I started, I was interviewing families that used one of these care sites, people who actually wound up, they're free websites, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Families use them to let people know what's going on. They use them to let them know specifically what kind of help they need. And then it's a way of people sending messages to them, like prayers and affirmations. But they don't have to do a lot of email. They don't have to answer phone calls, and they don't have to do that kind of thing. It's something that winds up being in their own rhythm of things. And I interviewed a whole number of families who have used this particular site called CarePages. That they often had hundreds, if not thousands, of people who wound up taking care, supporting their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I was so compelled by what I was hearing from these families. People don't have to have thousands of people. They could have 5 people. They could have 10 people. But if there are people who start to help take the edge off what caregivers are doing, that makes all the difference in the world. As a caregiver wakes up in the morning, they have a sense that there may be some spaciousness today. There may mm-hmm. be an hour when a friend can come over. And that they've gotten, I'll talk to you a little bit about the person you were talking about who said, I'd like to be able to go out of the house, but I can't, because there are a lot of beliefs around that I think people might want to take a look at, get past. But it's such a different thing when you start to feel like it's not all on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I have a very dear friend in Alaska, and she has a mother who is, oh my goodness, I think she's in her 90s. If not in her early 90s, she's getting close. And she said, Donna, I just don't know what to do. And we engaged in a conversation about this, and she brought up some concerns. And the concerns were about a very dear friend of hers. Now, we're talking about a couple that when the situation for caregiving developed, it was a husband-wife. The husband ended up in a very bad accident, ended up becoming a quadriplegic. They were in their 40s at the time. The woman is now in her 50s, which is my girlfriend's age. And my friend Mary said, she does everything. She does absolutely everything. She won't let anybody help her. And Mary hadn't seen her friend for quite a while. And they happened to cross paths. And she said, she has aged. I see an old woman. There is no light in her eyes. She is so passionately dedicated to her husband. That's her whole world. Now, she said, that's scary to me because I'm looking at her. And my feeling is when her husband passes, she's going to pass. Now, it's amazing he's still alive. And this woman, obviously, is a wonderful caregiver. But she gives so much from the heart. Physically, she is taxed, even though she's got a special van and she's got this, that, or the other. There is a sense of, I want to say pride. I must be able to take care of this myself. How can we get past that, Yosef? Because it just, we're human beings. We have these physical vehicles. And emotionally, I've seen this happen to people. Emotionally, it can just tear you to pieces. There's nothing left of you after a while if you go that route, which is my friend Mary was seeing with her beloved friend.
Yeah, so it's a situation that my heart goes out to her and my heart goes out to you somebody who really cares about her. But she's basically in a situation that there are millions of people in right now who really are exactly doing that. And it's very understandable that when people feel that there's no one else that really can take care of their loved one in the way they can. And that may actually be really true. Nobody can. But but that is not the end of the conversation. The fact that nobody can doesn't mean that nobody ought to be allowed in, invited in. And I don't mean just reaching out to ask a favor, but I'm talking about inviting in, because I have a lot of anecdotes around people who have, you know, they've told me where that being invited to reach in has changed their life. That has really been a boon to them, that they had a chance to do something about their friends, loved ones' care. They felt helpless to do something about it. They were scared about the prospect of what was happening with that person. I mean, there are a lot of things that the people around you may well be feeling, and by inviting them in some way, helps them. So, I mean, I just wanted to point. There's another thing I want to say. Interesting piece of research came out of Johns Hopkins about a month ago. The lead researcher was somebody that I have since been in touch with, and we actually may start doing some joint radio appearances. Professor David Roth, he's the head of their Aging and Health Institute at Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. His study found, this is a very counterintuitive finding. Caregivers live longer.
Oh, now that is interesting.
Okay. 18% more likelihood to live longer than non-caregivers. Okay. Okay. So, now that, you know, there are things about, yes, but they have to be able to manage their stress, and there are things that are more helpful and things that are less helpful. And I mean, there are factors involved. But this was not a little tiny study. This was of family caregivers for stroke patients. And out of this huge, huge sample, they took of population that they had in this and data on, they had 3,000 or so people in each arm of the study. So that's one thing. But here's your friend. You're afraid that when her husband passes away, that she really will. She may follow suit just because she'll be so worn out. And that's research has been saying, you know, all along. So this is kind of a new piece of information. But I want to talk about. The kinds of barriers that people have to reaching out, because if even a single person listening in today is able to hear themselves in the kind of attitudes I'm talking about and get rid of one of those attitudes, replacing it with a healthier one, I feel like we really did some good work today.
And let's cover one of those points, because you bring up something that, you know, as a counselor, I have utilized for many, many years, and it shocks people, and it's martyrdom. And this is something, you call it the martyr trance, and it's this self-sacrificing, I'll lay my body down, I'll bleed to death for you, all of this stuff. And I always tell people, look, if you want to be a martyr, that's fine, but everyone that I know of is dead. So let's get real and let's look at some facts of life. And I know that's being very hard, and it's being very cynical. And they'll go, what do you mean? Because many people, women especially, have been indoctrinated. This is what they're supposed to do. But anyone that has a chance to really look at that realizes that that's not going to serve your purpose.
Right.
You've got to take care of you. Let's talk about getting out of the martyr trance, which dovetails with what you were just discussing.
Exactly, and I really appreciate that you tuned into that part of the book where I talk about that. As an introduction to talking about this, because it does sound harsh, I want to really be really clear that I honor every single caregiver who's doing what they're doing now. You're doing holy work, and just, you know, like Donna's friend, if you're overwhelmed, you just, you know, really just, it's, you're exhausted. The last thing you need is another to do, and also the last thing you need is somebody second guessing you. So what Donna and I are really talking about here is not about second guessing you. It's really helping you to to begin to feel some spaciousness, and so that you really, really spaciousness, being able to breathe, to be so yes, martyrs are known for a lot of incredibly admirable things, but they're not necessarily known for keeping their jobs, right?
No kidding. They check out periodically, very quickly, as far as I'm aware of.
Right. So so that's not a place. And there are very positive. There are very few positive role models here, for you know, the people who, as in terms of caregivers, you know, I mean, as you were describing, it's kind of like you say women, particularly, you know, that are admired for, look how she just, there wasn't anything she would do. It was years and years and years. She sacrificed. She left her career. She left her network at the church, at the synagogue, at the mosque. She just didn't have, she was isolated, but she stayed with him and she did all this. Well, there isn't a role model that I'm aware of, that in movies or in books, that where here's a caregiver who not only took care of their loved one, but also took care of themselves and had a life and was able to maintain that life while caregiving. And we need to start having those kind of healthy caregivers, you know, step up. So as a first thing, I have a something that I playfully invented. It's a syndrome. You know, we all have all these syndromes with initials, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, ADD and all these, right? So, I mean, and I don't want to poo-poo those, but I have one that I invented myself, and it's not based on the kind of research that David Ross did at Hopkins, or actually I was involved for several years with outcomes research on something I created for hospitals that's called Bedscapes. But that's another conversation. But I know what statistically significant outcomes research is and what have you. But what I developed is not that at all. I turned to a woman on an Amtrak train sitting next to me, stranger, and I said, excuse me, do you think people have more trouble giving or receiving? And she said, receiving, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That was my research. In research, they call it N equals 1. Out of that significant body of data, I created receiving deficit disorder, RDD. And it means, it describes people who could be the most generous people on the planet. They're the first responders when anybody has a need. And you and I know them well. But when it comes to being able to receive some kind of support and kindness and in whatever form it might be offered, they say, oh, thank you. No, I don't need it. I know it's okay. I can handle it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that in normal times, that may be okay. It may not be great, but it's kind of be manageable. But when one is in a crisis situation or in a sustained, exhausting one like the one you described, you know, for 10 years or more, you know, with taking care of her husband, that can really significantly deplete somebody and impair them. And and by the way, the impairment isn't just because it's bad for the caregiver. Impairment, you know, being depleted, can also even result in abuse.
Absolutely, because there's frustration. And I know of a case where that happened.
Yeah,
in fact, it was a very vivid lesson to me when I was 19 years old. That happened with a family. The mother developed a brain tumor. There were three children. They were taking care of her. And the daughter got so angry, the mother, because the brain was literally being eaten by the cancer, her whole personality changed. And their mother had always been a very thoughtful person. She became sort of vicious. And she only had certain memory. Well, they didn't know, and she didn't know. The young lady, I'll call her Diane, she just did not know what was happening, and they were so stressed, the three of them, because none of them were medically trained in any way, shape, or form, all living in the house, all of them working at day jobs or night jobs, whatever they could, because they had nothing else at that time that they knew of to go to. And one day, her mother became so erratic, and she slapped her mother.
Yep.
And her mother died, I think it was 3 months later, She had a nervous breakdown. She just went through a horrible, horrible psychological mess. Now, someone listening to that might say, oh, what a horrible thing for her to do. But when you have a scenario where someone is mentally ill because a disease is eating away at the brain, that's not the real person anymore. That is not the person that you knew. Personality changes. There are moments when they might have some lucidity, and all of a sudden they are angry. And then you do something, and you live with that, because you have to live with who you are for the rest of your life. And it, like I said, it caused a nervous breakdown. So that's an excellent point.
And yeah, well, I am very much appreciating this conversation, Donna, because I think this is the real stuff that you know that we live when we do caregiving. The one of the things that I think that caregivers can do, just as a general approach, is to find ways to do periodically to shake it off. So, I mean, you can use this may sound too simple, but use your shower to just wash off that frustration, or take a bath every night and let it the all of that kind of the stuff, the toxicity of that's come towards you, leave you. Or but there may be ways to use spiritual and religious practices to do that as well. So one other thing, and I'm sorry, there's a beep going on here, but I think that will be over in a moment. One of the things that people can do as a practical thing is I call it 12-step program. Find very concrete kinds of things that you can delegate to get somebody to do. One of the care sites has a calendar on it that you could say, I need my daughter picked up from soccer practice. I need my son picked up from a tuba lesson. And on Thursday at 3:00, people see the calendar on the site. They sign up for it. All it costs them to do is take an hour out of their week. They know it ahead of time, and they do it. They feel good. They're contributing. It gets the job done, and Johnny gets to his tuba lesson, and it's one fewer thing that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And I call it 12-step program because you do it 12 times, and I think you've started to develop your reaching out muscles. And Steve Jobs from Apple, he was the ultimate, I think, control freak. You know, every last detail of Apple products had his signature on it. He learned to delegate.
Mm-hmm. He
had to.
He had to. Because yeah. He ended up being in a situation where physically he was dying. And there
But you're very right about that. And which was the ultimate, you know, really delegating. But even before that, he could not have done what he did to create
right.
such a world-class company had he not really learned to delegate. And so people can do that. But I want to talk about another reason that people often hold back from reaching out, in which is that they believe that if I reach out right now, forget about my privacy, forget about my loved one's privacy, forget about the children's privacy, all our family business is going to be known in the community, right? And
mm-hmm.
right, and nobody really wants to do that. I mean, I don't think most of us want to live. I mean, regardless of the generation that does everything on Facebook now, most of the rest of us really don't want to live in a fishbowl.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. So
absolutely true.
Yes. So there are things to do about that. It's not something that that's automatic at all. If you use one of the care sites that I mentioned, by the way, I want to say it again. It's caringbridge.com. It's lotsahelpinghands.com, LOTSA, helpinghands.com, and carepages.com. Those are the three, and I really urge people to go take a look at them, they have privacy settings on them. So that just like you can do on Facebook, you can decide who you want to have access to your site. You may send them a password, or it may be an intimate circle. It could be a broader. It could be your religious congregation or spiritual group or what have you. Or it could be anybody in the world that hears about you. But you have a chance to set that privacy setting. And there's another in my book. There's something I call a declaration of interdependence.
Yes, and, which is excellent, by the way. I know that we're coming close to time, but that is super. But I wanted to bring out also that you have some tips. Your book is not a thick book. It's meant for people to be able to refer to. So if any of you listening know of someone that is going through a challenge and they are feeling overwhelmed, they're feeling terribly alone, we have all these emotions that go on. I should be responsible. This is my loved one. And at the same time, you may say, oh, my God, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to handle it? I've got this to take care of. I'm working a full-time job. Oh, my goodness, how am I going to be able to afford this? All of these things cross your mind. Believe me, I know. And it's important for you to understand, number one, you're human. And number two, that there are people like yourself, others, that have had personal experiences, and that's why he's taking the time to put out this book and to talk about it. One of the things that I wanted to bring up is that you also have in your book not just care sites, but resources, hospice care. We have a neighbor down the street whose wife, and she's in her early 50s, she's got a major heart condition. She's young, and she's been ill for many, many years, and they have hospice there right now. And those people that are usually involved in that are so special. They are so special. They are so caring. And they are just marvelous, marvelous people, and they come out to the home. And I think that there are so many more options today. I think we are so blessed in so many ways because I really feel people do care. But you do need professionals. You do need to know that you can talk to someone and feel like you're not alone. You have a caregiver self-assessment questionnaire. You have a reaching out roadmap. You have so much in here, Yosef, that I think is marvelous. And I want people to know about your website. It's yestolifecoach.com. Coaching, excuse me.
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't read my own writing. Yestolifecoaching.com. And this is something we need to know, that at one time or another, it may affect us, maybe directly, maybe indirectly. You may have a family member that develops a health condition and you watch them deteriorate for years. There are so many things that can occur. But how do you maintain your equilibrium as a caregiver? How is it that you can have a feeling of wholeness in your own space and not be guilty over that? It's okay to feel good even when you're a caregiver. You don't have to be this martyr. Yosef, August, you have done such a good job with this book. I think it's a resource. Coaching for Caregivers, How to Reach Out Before You Burn Out. I think it's marvelous.
Thank you. If I may just say that,
sure.
It's on Amazon, and if it's in print, and it's an ebook, and the ebook on Kindle allows readers to reach out to other readers while they're reading the book. There are these things called widgets. So I want to just urge people to check that out because it's a new technology, but it would be a really great way that they could begin the process of reaching out by talking to other folks who are caregivers at the same time they're reading it.
Yosef August, thank you very much. And his first name is spelled Y-O-S-A-I-F. You pronounce it, you're safe. That's right. Yosef, just
thank
like an
you.
Umpire, as he told me. Last name August, just like the month. YesToLifeCoaching.com. It is a good thing to have in your library. And more than that, keep it in mind for someone that you care about that could use some words that'll give them an understanding. Number one, they're not alone. And number two, life still is rich with opportunity for them. And number three, they need to know that the love that they have for the person that they are taking care of is well worth giving. This is Donna Sebo. You're safe, August. Thank you so much for being my guest. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. It is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. By the way, tomorrow, oh, if you're a first-time listener, I neglected to say that. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Give me a buzz. Let me tell you what I perceive with my intuitive skills, and then ask me a question about anything that concerns you. 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about America needing American energy. Mark Stansberry is my guest. This book is a powerhouse of information. We need to enjoy the level of self-sufficiency and being able to contribute our energy that we have naturally within the United States into other areas of the world as well. We need to be able to turn our economic table upright on all four legs of determined strengths and positioning. And then we're going to be talking with Betty Schubert, Out of Style, if you love fashion. Oh, Betty is a wonderful person. She's a historian. And I will tell you, fashion changed for some of the most unusual reasons. Some of them were very practical. Some of them hideously impractical. I'm telling you, we gals are real screwballs sometimes when it comes to accepting what designers do. I really am grateful for living in a world where you can pretty much wear anything or nothing, I guess, if you don't want to. And it's okay. We have become sort of a hodgepodge, mishmash of, I can't say it's style, it isn't. And I can't really say it's fashion. It's just what it is right now. And we're going to have fun talking with Betty about that. So that's what's coming up. And go to show information, and you will find out more about the people that are coming up on the Donna Sebo Show. How did Google achieve such a significant positioning as far as being able to be represented as one of the best companies to work for in the world? What did they do? Now, the reason I wanted to chat about this morning is because last night I watched a story about Henry Ford. This man single-handedly, with the assistance of tens of thousands of working employees, moved America into an industrial age with a speed that was just phenomenal. It was an incredible, incredible film. And you can get it at your library. And it's about 2 hours. And I had, you know, you break up, you have the interruptions like I do. But I was very glad I watched it. Because it was a story about a man who, when he started out the way he worked with his employees and what he did with his working environment was wonderful. And I'm not exaggerating. He was the one that ended up raising the pay. He went against a board of directors saying, I'm going to pay my people $5 a day. Well, in that time frame, $5 a day was huge. People were lucky if they got a quarter a day or a dollar a day. They just didn't get very much money at all because the value of the dollar was a lot higher than our value of a dollar today. But when I was watching this, I was really stunned by how he shifted. Ended up building this huge manufacturing conglomerate and was putting cars out like crazy. It was wonderful. But he had shifted from this thoughtful positioning as a businessman to becoming a tyrant. It was really a very, very sad patterning that I saw. It's a powerful movie. And I really reflected when I came across this information about Google, how the wise employer always has been one that has put the employee's cares and needs, not excessively so, because you can't do that, but you wanted your people that you were having in your environment and working for you, you wanted them productive, you wanted to pay them well, you wanted to support them, maybe through their times of difficulties, you wanted to encourage their growth and their development. Because one of the most expensive aspects of business is training people to be good at their job. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of time to train people. If you have a lousy work environment, you're training people like crazy. You give them no motivation, and they're going to be gone. They're going to get the training, and out the door they go. This is nothing new. This happened to Henry Ford when he started his first aspect of manufacturing. He was the one that made the choice, and they were excellent choices. Increase the wage, increase the pleasure of the working environment, shorter working hours. Standard had been 9 hours. They cut it back to 8, days off. He implemented this without any unions. None. It's really a good idea to check out his story if you're interested in this type of subject matter. Now, he changed it later on, many, many, many years later, which was to his detriment. It's a fascinating aspect. When you do take care of the people that work with you, when they feel like they have a sense of purpose, when they can watch the growth and development, when you allow them to flow with ideas, that's what happens. Well, that's what Google has been doing. For the fourth consecutive year, it was named the best company to work for by Fortune magazine. Now, people say, well, they get free gourmet food, on-site laundry, commuting shuttles with Wi-Fi, 5 months of maternity leave for the women at full pay and benefits. Could that have something to do with it? Now, there were social scientists. I chuckle at all these terms. Social scientists that did an evaluation of this. And these people were part of a people and innovation lab because they want to get the science of this. They want to find out the best way to take care of a large firm because one of the realities, when your firm gets past a certain point and you get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, it's very easy to lose touch. It is very easy to totally be out of the loop. And the people that are the head of the human resources for Google say they want to pay attention to the decisions they make about the people, give as much attention to that as they do to engineering decisions on what they have to deal with on a daily basis. So they did a survey. And I found this to be interesting, where the employees were asked about different options they'd like for their pay. Would they rather have $1,000 more in salary or a $2,000 bonus? Well, guess what? They wanted the extra money in their base pay. So they said, all right, that's simple enough. For everybody's going to get a 10% salary increase. Now, what if you wanted to encourage your employees to save? What if you were giving them a matching 401k contribution?
Caller.
Well, they worked with that, too. And there were some other things that I was going to share with you. Remember always one thing. I don't care what you do. It's all about people. And I know we've got a caller on the line, so I want to get to that caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Tiffany, and I'm from Twin.
You're from where, dear?
Twin. Twin Falls.
Oh, Twin Falls.
I've talked to you before.
Oh, you have. All right. Well, I'm delighted that you're calling in. Now, is that in the Dakotas or Idaho? Where are you?
In Idaho.
In Idaho. Well, I'm delighted you called
in.
Yes,
ma'am.
All right, Tiffany, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at is the word education. Now, what's interesting, when that word was shown in my mind, it wasn't gigantic. It was just sort of, I'd say maybe a font of about 30, you know, just that size. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, now, why is just that one word coming up? I think you're looking at a professional change. I think you are wanting to take the skills you have. You're wanting to embellish them. You're wanting to grow them into something bigger. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is to give yourself some time. Sit back. Go out for a walk. Find a park bench or go to your local library. Be in a conference room by yourself. Maybe sit at a coffee shop. Maybe that's the best way for you to do it. You need to be by yourself. And you really need to have integrity with who you are. You need to ask yourself, what is your priority on a professional level and on a personal level? Because what I am seeing in my mind, it's as if there's a vacancy inside of you. And you're saying, I don't understand why I'm not satisfied. I don't understand where this discontentment is coming from. I should be grateful for what I have. What's wrong with me? It's just time for you to grow again. That's all. So the expansion of your skills, the expansion of your awareness into arenas that you'd never even considered, arenas of activity, that could be very productive for you. You're also your strong sense of responsibility to those that you love and to certain aspects of your environment. They're very intense, my dear. They're very intense, and you need to honor that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think you've got to have some clarity here, and you're the only one that's really going to be able to answer those questions. You've got an awesome 2014 in front of you. You're going to work very hard. This is not going to be tiptoe through the tulip year. This is a year where you're going to find your industriousness is going to be building a different foundation. You're going to find that you want to have more of an understanding regarding money, how to leverage it, what to do with it, how to be very present in the moment of whatever it is that you're occupied with, and at the same time, look at the bigger picture of what you want to achieve. You're also going to be removing yourself from certain environments of personal associations that don't serve you anymore. Now, this is sort of painful to you because you're very, very loyal. You are very, very loyal and almost to a point of blindness sometimes. And that can be a detriment. But you're waking up to this. I really think you're cracking a shell around you. And I think you cracked it about a year and a half ago, but it's taken this long for the crack to finally go the full circle all the way around. So when you're ready, you can just push the shell that you've had with your hands. This is imagery, pushing it so it totally falls away from you. And this is because you're changing your environment. You are changing it gradually, but 2014 is going to be a fast year of change, a fast year of change. And I would not be a bit surprised if you make a big jump into a brand new arena by around the 6th of June of 2014. I would not be surprised by this at all. So this is the time, even though we're in the year 2013, we're ending it up very quickly. This is the time for you to really look at what you want, where you'd like to see yourself, and realize that little bit of education that you may need is just an expansion of who you already are. An example, let's say you've always wanted to be a public speaker. Join Toastmasters. Do something like this. Maybe you would love to be involved with fundraising. Volunteer your services with maybe a group at a hotel or a particular organization. It could be the Shriners. It could be a local hospital. It could be a local business group. See, I'd love to volunteer my services. Would you be open to that? You could do this at an opera house. I mean, there's so many options for you. You're stepping outside of your own paradigm. This is important. It is very important, and I compliment you because I know you're taking baby steps, but you're doing a good job, so hang tough. What would you like to ask me? Oh, Tiffany, I just noticed the clock. I've got to take a break. Will you stay with me? Don't hang up. I'll get to your question.
Yes.
We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna, and if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. What's your question, dear? Thank you for waiting. Tiffany?
I have a gift, and I'm wondering how to use this. I've had it for years, and I don't really know what to do with it.
All right, what's your gift, dear?
It is a psychic gift.
Okay, tell me what type, though. Don't be embarrassed by this. There's nothing. You're not weird. You just have a gift. So what is
it? Okay. I'm telepathic.
Wonderful. Okay, so now...
Go ahead.
Okay.
I hear three different levels I hear God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I also hear the other side. I hear demons and such, and I also hear people, their conversations. Mostly, I hear them their conversations directed towards me or their thoughts towards me.
And I
don't know what to do with it. I don't know what God wants me to do with it. I know it's a huge part of how I feel about the discontentment. It's that in which I don't know where to go with it.
All right. First of all, let me ask you a question. And this is going to sound a little strange, but I'm going to ask you. What is your ethnicity? Do you have African-American background? Do you have Irish background? Do you have Italian background, Jewish? What ethnicity?
I do know I'm Italian. I am adopted, so...
Okay. Let me make...
I don't know much.
Okay. Let me just tell you why I'm saying this. With what you have described, you're not nuts, all right? You're not schizophrenic. Some okay. people would say, oh, if you can hear this, that, or the other, because I know I've had a number of experiences of my own, and I have talked with people from around the world. Keeping a balance with this skill is extremely important. The reason I asked about the ineffacity of your background, if you're adopted, you may not know. I'd like to encourage you to do something. I'd like to encourage you to do a DNA test. And the reason I recommend okay. that, it has been my experience that one's ineffacity has a big impact on these skills. I dare say the family line that you came from, this was a very prominent characteristic among the females. You have inherited this talent. Intuitive skills of various levels often are passed along in a family. When you have this telepathic transmission, one of the biggest challenges you have is one of sophisticated discernment so that you selectively give attention to what needs to be attended to. You will find as you read, and that's why you need education here, you need to read about different cultures, different aspects of shamanistic wisdom and understanding. I had a lady on yesterday whose husband was trained in an Aboriginal, Australian Aboriginal environment that enabled him to break through and deal with telepathic information and downloads of different types of mind information that he had no clue about. And this man was a physicist. And if you have a chance, go and listen to that interview. If you didn't hear it yesterday, you can go into the archives and you can listen to it. This is very significant. You need to understand that this is something you need some mentoring with. And if you did a DNA test, you could find out about your physiological history. And let's say you had Native American in you. Well, if they were able to discern certain aspects, then you could say, I have an empathy here with Native American culture. And then I would go and I'd read about that. I'd read about what is available, like black elk and some other very, very well-known shamanistic Native Americans and how they use their skills. Because a shaman is someone that is able to look at between the worlds and live in this world as well. And they're not abnormal. They're not freaky. They're not weird. And that's where you are right now. So I'll make that recommendation. I also would say be open to reading about different people, their different experiences. And when you find something that resonates with you, you'll know it's the right thing because it is feeling right to you. You're developing your skill, and you need to be sure you ask for the guidance as to how this skill is to be used. And it's you're here to be of service in some way, but you have to learn the discernment process first. You've got to be very discerning. Otherwise, you'll become like a garbage can for anything and everything that's floating out there. And that you don't want to do.
Right.
Am I making sense to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. I want you to be patient with yourself. I don't want you to ignore this skill, but I want you always to sort of keep in the back of your mind to ask for the highest and the best at all times. And you'll find that you'll get the guidance that you need. I'm looking at the clock here. I'm going to have to go. So
okay. My
show is finalizing a moment or two here. It's finalizing its way out on this show day. But just be aware. Trust yourself. Be willing to learn. Take one step at a time. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. My goodness, remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are on this wonderful planet of ours, morning, afternoon, or evening, thank you for joining me and my broadcasting table. It has been a delight. We'll be chatting again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.
Joe Berger. I listen to Ron Amatron, Creation Light Ship Healing.
It's a long way home. I'm trying to find you in the great unknown. I want to remind you.